This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Michael J. Fox has become almost as well known in recent years for the Parkinson's disease he lives with as he is for his acting. Fox is far from alone. Parkinson's disease detection is on the rise in recent years, in large part because it's easier to diagnose. Parkinson's disease is the focus at a Gunderson Lutheran symposium later this month. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom talked with Cooley Region resident Kent Granger, who was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease 2 years ago. He also talks with Gunderson Lutheran neurologist Jason Aldred about some of the latest developments with Parkinson's. Dr. Aldred starts by defining what Parkinson's disease is.
Well, Parkinson's disease is a neurological condition where person is affected with tremor, resting tremor, slow movement, and stiffness, usually more on one side of the body than the other. And it can also affect walking. Parkinson's really affects the ability to function and do things quickly, and so it makes it harder to complete daily activities. Routine tasks takes longer to finish meals, sometimes longer to get from one place to another. And it's a slowly progressive condition. So oftentimes the symptoms of Parkinson's are not always obvious. It may start with a tremor. It may start with just slow movement. One of the misconceptions about Parkinson's is that everyone has tremor. One out of three people do not have tremor, and it's more just slow movement that gradually progresses over time. And it's when symptoms are bad enough that it strikes the person who experiences them or the family that something's really not right, that they'll come to attention of a physician and a diagnosis will be made.
Who gets Parkinson's? Is there any sort of identifiers?
Parkinson's is certainly a condition associated more with aging. People that are older get Parkinson's more than those that are younger. But there are many people with Parkinson's in their 30s and 40s and 50s. But the average age of onset of the motor symptoms of Parkinson's disease is about age 62. It certainly can happen, though, in people as they get much older. And a lot of diagnoses are made in the 70s and 80s and even later. So the longer someone lives, the more likely they already develop Parkinson's, and that's probably the strongest risk factor. Men get Parkinson's slightly more often than women, but it's not a great difference. We see Parkinson's occurs more often in certain groups of people, and farmers and people that sometimes are living in rural areas. It was always thought was a risk factor. But some interesting studies have come out lately, very well done scientific studies, showing that it may be that in concentrated urban areas there could also be more cases of Parkinson's compared to areas that aren't urban. And that really brings up concerns for environmental risk factors that might be implicated in triggering Parkinson's.
Any research indicating what may cause this, or is this one of the big questions that we're facing when it comes to Parkinson's treatment and learning more?
Well, certainly we don't really understand the true root cause of Parkinson's disease, and it may be that there's not one specific cause. There are a small number of individuals with Parkinson's who have one single gene where there's an abnormality in the gene and that leads to symptoms. Commonly, this was thought to only affect younger people. Although in the last 5 years or so, we've learned more that there is a particularly more common gene that can cause Parkinson's in older people and people in their 60s or 70s. And that's really tremendously interesting because genetic disorders are thought to tend to occur more in younger than older people. And this genetic conditions, we can a lot of times target the abnormality of the gene much more readily because we know it's abnormal. And so this is the type of understanding of Parkinson's that will allow us to get more quickly to treatments that make major changes in the condition or even a cure.
What are the treatment options for Parkinson's?
There really isn't one particular type of treatment for Parkinson's that is the only treatment. They're really a should be a balanced approach to treatment that involves really four major areas. Exercise is a tremendously important treatment for Parkinson's disease. And for many years, we've all heard the benefits of heart and lung health with exercise. And of course, it keeps your muscles strong. But much of the evidence from animal studies looking at Parkinson's, and even studies recently in humans, shows that exercise is a major factor in improving nervous system health, and it improves the levels of healthy chemicals within the nervous system, like growth factors, things that stimulate and potentially can even heal nerve cells that are not doing well. So exercise is a tremendously important part of treatment for Parkinson's, and really one of the things we like to get started early. And many people are already active to begin with, and we encourage those to stay active. But those that aren't, we try to develop a treatment plan that includes regular daily exercise. Rehabilitation services like physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy are also tremendously important. If we're left to our own devices, certainly all of us, and particularly people with Parkinson's, may be struggling to do things more so because of slow movement or stiffness of muscles, and might kind of stop doing certain activities. And a therapist, like a physical therapist, will really set goals and try to improve function and maintain function. Medication is one of the cornerstones of treatment for Parkinson's disease, and we have the ability with Parkinson's to replace a key chemical neurotransmitter called dopamine. And because we can replace that chemical, we can bring about improvement in the major motor symptoms of Parkinson's, like slow movement, stiffness, and tremor. And there aren't too many things in medicine where you can do this. I think of replacing insulin in diabetes or thyroid disease, you can replace thyroid hormone. Well, in Parkinson's, you can replace dopamine. And that, to me, is one of the most fascinating aspects about working in Parkinson's is being able to replace a chemical that's low and see such dramatic improvement in the symptoms. The last thing I would mention would be surgery for Parkinson's disease. Deep brain stimulation surgery includes a stimulator being placed inside of the brain to disrupt abnormal firing of brain networks, and that improves the symptoms of slow movement, stiffness, and tremor, although it doesn't cure or slow the progression of Parkinson's disease. It can bring about really meaningful benefits for patients that are struggling with medication.
How prevalent is Parkinson's in the La Crosse area that you have seen?
It occurs in about one in every 800 individuals. And in the La Crosse area right now in our clinic, we're following, well, we have a clinic that draws from three states, but in our distribution area or in our geographic area, we see about 500 patients with Parkinson's disease right now that we're actively following.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm Steve Rysom. We are first hearing from Jason Aldred, neurologist and specialist on Parkinson's disease. Can Parkinson's be managed to live a normal life?
Absolutely. There are things that are affected by Parkinson's that we can't improve with the treatments that I mentioned earlier. But the vast majority of symptoms of Parkinson's can be improved, particularly initially, with medication, exercise, physical therapy, and if need be, surgery. There are some areas of Parkinson's disease where over time the medication or even surgery doesn't help as well as we would like, and that those are things like balance and even ability to think clearly and have a long time to get thoughts or words out, and those are areas of Parkinson's that we're desperately trying to find treatment for. There's a lot of work to be done still in many areas of Parkinson's disease.
How is funding for research? It seems, I've read the news, and it seems mm-hmm. to me like there is a fair amount of funding going into the research here, and what they find with, say, Parkinson's may benefit branches of other diseases. Is that the reality of it?
Absolutely. You learn so much from studying some of the more keynote common conditions that is translated to other conditions, like Alzheimer's disease, for example, is really extremely different than Parkinson's disease. We are finding many of the research methods used in Alzheimer's disease, including imaging the brain, trying to detect Alzheimer's early on. We're trying to take that and look at using it in Parkinson's disease. and even some of the therapies. Parkinson's funding has benefited tremendously from work with individuals like Michael J. Fox, who's just done a wonderful job, dedicated his life to raising awareness and funding for Parkinson's. But this is a really tough time for funding for the National Institutes of Health and for even, you know, local groups that are working with Parkinson's research. So I won't lie and say that it's not that it's been a really a time of good funding. I mean, things are pretty tight, but there's a lot of dedicated people out there working to make this a priority.
Is it possible to have a cure in 5 years, 10 years, or is this such a multifaceted condition that may be pretty hard to do, and you may have to just take medication to kind of maintain instead of cure?
I don't think that a cure is right around the corner, but it's conceivable that with the advances in understanding the genetics of Parkinson's disease, that a major breakthrough that significantly slows the progression of the disorder is not terribly far away and certainly is reasonable to hope and expect for in our patient's lifetime currently. We really need to understand more about Parkinson's and early Parkinson's disease. It turns out that our conventional thinking of Parkinson's as being involving tremor, slow movement, and muscle rigidity, that's really only part of it. It affects many other aspects of life, including sleep, the sense of smell, many other symptoms that don't involve movement, and many of those can also be affected years earlier. So what we are looking at now is trying to detect Parkinson's early on, particularly with those that may have a family history of Parkinson's disease, and using those people that are at higher risk and trying new agents, new therapies very early so that we can delay the onset of Parkinson's symptoms by 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 years. So whether the ultimate endpoint is a cure or to simply push the symptoms back so that they occur only, you know, very late in life, I think either would be acceptable to what we're doing right now, and either could happen. So I think it might be earlier that we see treatments and therapies aimed at Parkinson's symptoms early on that push it back. But ultimately, I think the ability to find a cure for Parkinson's is there. It's just going to take time and research.
Are we seeing more cases now? It seems like there's so many diseases, conditions out there where the number of people, the number of patients seems to be increasing over time at a notable rate, and we're not sure as to why.
I would say that it is, and there are a few reasons for that. One is we're better at detecting Parkinson's, and the public's more aware of Parkinson's disease and asking about symptoms that they're experiencing. It wouldn't be unusual that a person may have developed Parkinson's in their 80s and not thought much about it if the symptoms were mild, a mild tremor, and they just seemed to slow down, and the question was never asked.
Just getting old.
And I still hear that from a lot of my older patients. We have a pretty tough patient group in the upper Midwest. So, but really, I think the willingness to tolerate a lot of these troubles is different nowadays. And so it's probably being diagnosed more. It's tough to say whether we're truly seeing more Parkinson's or not for that reason in particular. But also we have a huge situation coming our way with baby boomers getting older. And this affects all of us and medicine in particular. And I'm not sure if anyone's really prepared for handling the large amounts of people that are in the baby boomer generation that are getting older. And we expect to see a dramatic increase, probably a doubling, and the numbers of people with Parkinson's disease by 2030.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Steve Reisom. Our topic, Gunderson Lutheran, holding a second annual symposium on Parkinson's, and that is later this month. Our second guest is Kent Granger. He is retired. You were diagnosed about 2 years ago?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
What is it like being diagnosed for Parkinson's? Was that pretty overwhelming? Or was it?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, when you first somebody first tells you have Parkinson's, it's hard to think about anything else initially, and then you just start to deal with it and get educated and learn and move on from there. But the initial diagnosis, set you back a little.
You retired a couple of years ago from working with computers?
Right. I worked for Unisys Corporation.
What were some of the first signs that something was wrong? And were you able to really kind of zero in that this might be something, or did they just kind of show up as these inexplicable symptoms?
The first thing I noticed was I had a tremor in my left hand. And that went on for several years because it wasn't really very bad, but it slowly got worse. And eventually I got referred to Dr. Aldred, and he diagnosed the Parkinson's. And after I was diagnosed and read about it, I actually had other symptoms that I wasn't associating, with the tremor. After Dr. Aldred put me on medication, Senamet, a lot of those symptoms went away.
And you mentioned before the medication has been effective, but like a lot of medications, there are some side effects. And
sure.
Later in the day, what happens?
As you take Senamet over time, the dose builds up in your system, and you get a condition called dyskinesia. I guess the goal is to try to take enough Senamet that it relieves your symptom and you get as little problems with dyskinesia as you possibly can.
What's it been like living with Parkinson's?
Everybody has problems that they deal with, and Parkinson's is just another problem that I have to deal with and that my family has to deal with.
How are you managing the disease? What do you need to do? Is it simply taking the medication? Do you have to do any sort of physical rehabilitation sort of things?
I don't know about rehabilitation. I do take the medication on a regular basis throughout the day, and I do exercise, and on a regular basis I use some strength training and some aerobic exercising.
What's the hardest part about having Parkinson's?
The tremors are difficult because you get in a social situation that sometimes is difficult to deal with. I do not like buffets. Buffets are terrible. Because I can't carry two plates at the same time. So I have to kind of work through that. My wife helps me with that.
Are you optimistic about your future? Do you see a future 5-10 years down the line where you're about to be a grandfather for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself in 5 years and 10 years enjoying life still?
Oh, sure, yeah. There are treatments, as Dr. Aldred said, DBS is an option, that we can look at, if the symptoms get severe. And that, I guess when you have that DBS surgery, then what happens is you can reduce the amount of Senamet that you're taking, and that reduces some of the other side effects from the medication. So as it progresses, there are things you can do to deal with that.
Is that something you're looking into?
Yeah, we've talked about it.
What's kept you from jumping on board right away?
It's probably a little early. I mean, it's a serious surgery. They're going to drill a hole in your head and stick a wire in your brain. It's something nobody, I think, would be anxious to have that done. So, but the opportunity to reduce the symptoms, both from the Parkinson's and from the medication, is, at some point will become important.
Dr. Aldred, talk a bit about this deep brain stimulation. I thought I read that a few years ago. Michael J. Fox had that procedure. It did help him out for a while. How is this done, and what are the benefits?
Deep brain stimulation is been a groundbreaking treatment for people living with Parkinson's disease. But it's definitely not for everyone. It's for people who are already getting or have had a good response to the medication for Parkinson's, but the medicine may not be lasting as long as they need to have good movement or tremor control. That's one indication. And the other is for dyskinesia that is bothersome or impairs their ability to function. And dyskinesia, this is the abnormal involuntary movement, increased movement, it looks like wiggling or excessive movement. And this occurs as an inevitable consequence of really otherwise good medication management. The way that we give the levodopa, or the Senamet, as it's called, isn't the natural way that the brain is supplied with dopamine. It works well, but it's not the way that we're designed to receive dopamine. And so it triggers this response where there are involuntary movements called dyskinesia. Well, when someone has had, when there's too much of that or problems with the medicine lasting, then they become a very good candidate for deep brain stimulation surgery. And the goal of the surgery is to improve the symptoms of slow movement, stiffness, and tremor, much like with the medication, but without the side effects of wearing off of medicine or the involuntary movement dyskinesia. So for those that are at that point, we do counsel them about the option for that surgery. So far, the surgery has shown to be effective well past 10 years. So there isn't a clear expiration date that you have to time the surgery just right. It has fortunately been shown to maintain its effectiveness for quite a long time. However, it doesn't prevent other problems that occur later in Parkinson's, such as balance difficulty and problems with the mind. It doesn't prevent that. So it's still it's a therapy for symptoms, and it still isn't all that we need for Parkinson's, but it is an important tool to managing Parkinson's well.
Dr. Jason Aldred is director of the Movement Disorders Center at Gunderson Lutheran. Kent Granger was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease 2 years ago. They previewed a Parkinson's disease symposium Gunderson Lutheran will host in La Crosse August 18th for people with Parkinson's disease and their families. Pre-registration is due tomorrow. Coming up next, in light of financial difficulties, La Crosse's LGBT Center will be cutting its hours. Also, learn about the precedent-setting lawsuit from Northern Wisconsin that changed the way many schools handle bullying. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.